Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey, Daniel, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, I worry about a lot of things. Financial crises, my kids growing up to be just like me, all sorts of stuff.
I worry about that, too. For them.
You worry about my kids growing up to be just like me? We can't have more of him in the world.
Okay, but like on a galactic scale, on a universe scale, what's something we should be concerned about?
Well, we do have a lot of things to look forward to in terms of our galaxy. If we survive the sun exploding and the waters of the Earth boiling off, then we have something pretty dramatic to look forward to, which is that our galaxy, the Milky Way, is going to collide with our nearest neighbor, Andromeda.
Meaning right now, there's an entire galaxy, Andromeda, heading towards us at this very moment.
That's right. It's like somebody shot it at us with a slingshot and it's zooming right towards us. And it's going to hit us smack on.
Hi, I'm Jorge.
And I'm Daniel.
And this is our podcast, Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe. On the episode today, we're going to talk about
what will happen when galaxies collide. Is this something we should all be worrying about and packing our bags about? Building our underground shelters? Or are we all screwed? Or is it just going to be like a big nothing?
Yeah. How much should I pack?
You should definitely be stocking lentils no matter what. Lentils are a good investment for any of these end of the world scenarios.
Not just beans.
No, lentils. I mean, lentils are a kind of legume.
For a galactic emergency, that's the one to go with.
Yeah, absolutely. I would invest in lentils heavily. And it's not just because I happened to purchase lentil stocks just before we recorded this podcast, and I'm trying to drum up the lentil futures. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sincerely worried about our listeners, and I encourage you all to go out there and stockpile lentils.
Well, that's a whole hill of beans worth of advice right there.
That's right. And so this is the question in today's podcast. What will happen when our galaxy, the Milky Way, collides with the neighboring galaxy? And this question I love, not just because it's huge and dramatic and galactic and all this sort of stuff, but because it was suggested by one of our listeners.
That's right. It's Blake from Australia, who listens to this podcast on her commute to work every day.
That's right. And she didn't tell us what she uses to commute. Maybe she rides in a beautiful pickup truck. Maybe she's in the back of a limo.
Maybe she rides a kangaroo, you know, who knows?
That's right.
How they do it down under.
Kangaroo with a really nice sound system.
Yeah. But she had some interesting feedback for us about our podcast, right? What did she say?
Yeah. She said that she likes listening to me explain things, but she also likes when you interrupt me. She said that often you interrupt me just the same moment when she has a question, and you pose the same question that was bouncing around in her head, that she was shouting at her limo sound system or kangaroo speakers or whatever it is she's using to listen to. And so I was glad for that because, you know, I like when you interrupt me also. It breaks the flow and it keeps me from just droning on and on and on. So thank you, Blake, for suggesting this topic. And thank you, Jorge, for occasionally interrupting.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be rude.
It seems to come naturally to you. Yeah, and so that's the topic of today's podcast. And we thought first, before we dove into it, we would walk around like we usually do and ask people, are you worried about a galactic collision? What do you think will happen when our galaxy collides with a neighboring galaxy?
So put that image in your mind, two giant galaxies full of stars running into each other. What do you think is going to happen? Here's what people had to say.
Big explosion, we'd probably all die.
It is going to be mostly nothing because of all the empty space around the world, although there will be some crashes and so on the way.
Okay. Probably somewhere between a glacial slow event that we won't even notice and nothing at all. Maybe leaning toward nothing at all.
I think it would probably be a big explosion with something pretty crazy happening.
All right, that was a little anticlimactic. People seem to have very low expectations of this event.
What do you mean? It seems like half the people are like, it's going to be nothing. And the other half are like, big explosions, we're all going to die.
Well, why do you think Blake asked this question? Do you think this is something she's concerned about or is something she's curious about, you know?
I think Blake is probably deciding whether or not to stock up on lentils, you know?
She's probably right now, sorry she asked.
I think it's part of just trying to be a sort of a citizen of the larger universe, you know, wondering where we stand and trying to think bigger than just our planet, you know, because there's so much going on out there. It's so easy to just walk around on the surface of this planet and never really look up and remember that there's an enormous amount of stuff happening out there. And then you wonder like, well, how is that relevant to me? And is it going to ruin my life or can I go on ignoring it?
Right.
So I think maybe she was just sort of thinking into the deep future and wondering like, how long can this whole ridiculous, beautiful thing we call life on Earth go on?
Right. Is it going to change from how it is now? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Do I need to change the way I live? Does it affect any decision making? Right. On the other hand, it could be that Blake, like many people, is just a thinker and likes to think about these scenarios. And she probably heard that the Milky Way will collide with Andromeda and wonder, like, what's that going to be like? You know, there's this other side of me that likes to smash stuff together. I mean, I'm a particle physicist. But then we have the whole universe to play with, right? And so you might wonder, like, what happens when planets collide? What happens when solar systems collide? Oh my gosh, what if we could build a galaxy collider and shoot them against each other and smash them into each other, right? So it just comes out of like a curiosity to see stuff break by smashing it together.
Yeah. Well, let's take a step back and just kind of think about why even galaxies would collide. Like, is this a relevant question? Is this something that happens a lot, galaxies colliding? Or is it something that's incredibly rare?
It turns out galaxies colliding happens all the time. It's like a totally natural thing.
Really?
And our galaxy, yeah, not only will our galaxy collide with Andromeda in a few billion years, it's currently colliding with other smaller galaxies that are around it.
We're in a collision right now.
Yeah, that's right. And remember that the galactic timescales are very different. You know, the galaxy takes about 200 million years just to rotate once.
To go around once?
Yeah, so one galactic year is 200 million Earth years.
What? But it looks so swirly. It looks, do you know what I mean? Like, it looks like it's in motion, but it's actually super slow.
It is in motion. It's just very slow, right? And so all these things are dancing around each other, and sometimes they bump into each other. And the thing that I think is amazing is that, you know, until like 100 years ago, we didn't even know there were other galaxies. Like, we looked up at the night sky and we saw stars and we thought, oh, there's just stars that go on forever, right? The universe is just filled with stars.
The universe is just like a giant mess of pinpoints, right? Just stars.
Yeah. Yeah, like somebody had scattered stars across the cosmos, right? And it was Hubble, the guy for whom the telescope and the constant are named. He's the guy who figured out, oh, some of those things that are really far out there are not stars. They're other galaxies, right? So the universe is filled with other galaxies. And of course, there are more galaxies than stars. And then each galaxy, of course, contains hundreds of billions of stars. And so the numbers pretty quickly blow your head up before you can understand them.
Okay.
But the point I wanted to make was that We didn't realize there were galaxies until recently, and now we're realizing that galaxies are in motion relative to each other, and that they're moving. Like these galaxies that we see out there in the sky, they're not just like hanging there in space, never to change, right? Mm-hmm. They are moving, they're dynamic things, and they're right. constantly in motion, and they have huge gravitational attraction.
Well, let's break it down. What exactly is a galaxy? I mean, I know it's like kind of like a collection of stars, but you know, why do stars clump together like that, first of all? And what makes a galaxy special? Like, why is it more than just a clump of stars?
Well, what makes our galaxy special is that you're in it, Jorge. There's no other galaxy that features such a good-looking, funny cartoonist.
So thank you. Me and Lentils, we make it habitable.
Right. Okay. So what's the recipe for a galaxy, right? Well, the thing that the galaxies have the most of, remember, is dark matter.
Mm.
In general, there's about five times as much dark matter as there is any other kind of matter, you know, the stuff that makes up gas and dust and stars and people and cartoonists and ice cream. So it's mostly dark matter.
Okay? So that's the stuff we can't see or touch. I mean, we did a whole podcast episode on dark matter, but it just in case somebody didn't listen to it, it's like this weird, invisible, dark gravity thing that's hanging out that every galaxy has.
That's right. Yeah, we call it dark and matter because we can't see it, so it's dark, and we know it gives gravity, so therefore it's matter.
Mm.
And the crazy thing is that until, you know, a few decades ago, we didn't even know it existed, and now we know that galaxies are mostly made up of this stuff, right?
Wow.
So number one ingredient when you want to make a galaxy is you have to have dark matter.
It's like five times more than the stars, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a galaxy is basically a clump of dark matter with a few sprinkles of stars in it.
That's right. Yeah, if a galaxy was a cupcake, right, mm-hmm. the dark matter would be the chocolate cake, and you know everything else would be the frosting and the sprinkles.
Mm.
The gas and the dust would be the frosting, the stars would be the sprinkles on top.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's kind of the right proportions.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
So you start with a big blob of dark matter.
Okay.
And that's most of it. And then after that, you have huge amounts of gas and dust, right? And that's the stuff that's left over from the Big Bang or mm-hmm. left over from stars exploding. And those are the ingredients you need to make planets and stars and all sorts of stuff that you're familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have dark matter, you have gas, you have dust, you have planets and stars.
And black holes, right? Like there's not just little black holes sprinkled throughout probably, but there's a huge, giant black hole at the center of every galaxy.
That's right. I can't believe I forgot the black hole. The black hole at the center of almost every galaxy is huge. It's like, you know, millions of solar masses, and it's sitting there at the center of the black hole. And it's got a lot of stuff to it also, right? It carries a lot of mass, and so it contributes.
Mm.
So that's what a galaxy is. And,
okay.
you know, a galaxy couldn't really form without all those elements. Like, you couldn't really have a galaxy without dark matter, because dark matter provides the gravitational attraction to suck all this stuff together. You know, they do these simulations of the universe, and they say, what would the universe look like if you never had dark matter in it? And it would take a lot longer for galaxies to form because dark matter has pulled all this stuff together. It's like it's made a, you know, like a well in the rubber sheet of the universe, so everything rolls together more closely.
Hmm. Okay, so that's a galaxy. It's a black hole surrounded by dark matter and sprinkles of stars.
And gas and dust.
And Lentils.
And Lentils, exactly, yes.
And so they're not just hanging out in space, they're moving around.
That's right. Each one is spinning, right? Which is why mm-hmm. you see a lot of them having these spiral features. Each one is spinning. And then they're also moving around each other. They each have gravity and they're moving around each other. And they have each galaxy is a member of a cluster of galaxies. And so these guys are orbiting the center of the cluster. And then the clusters are members of superclusters. So these things have a lot of gravitational interactions everywhere.
It's like a system of galaxies. They all
exactly.
kind of interact with each other and they all spin around their common center of mass.
Exactly right. And they're all spinning around that center. So sort of like a big slow motion tornado, right? If you looked at it really, really slow, you're like, oh, nothing's really moving. I mean, I guess a little bit, but mm-hmm. you watch it at natural speed, a tornado, and obviously it's going really fast. And so a galaxy is that sort of that same way. The system of galaxies is sort of that same way.
Right.
But they're all moving around each other. And then occasionally, you know, they bump into each other.
Wow. That's so weird to think that gravity works that way. Like we are, you know, moving around the center of the Earth. The Earth is moving around our solar system around the center of gravity, which is mostly the sun. But the sun is also moving around the center of gravity of the galaxy. And the galaxy is also moving around the center of gravity of its cluster of galaxies.
That's right, yeah. and on and on and on, like a bunch of nested Russian dolls, you know?
Until you get to
the biggest structures in the universe, you know, which are the superclusters and then the filaments of superclusters. And beyond that, we don't know anything about whether there are bigger and bigger structures. That's as far as we've seen.
So we're moving around, and sometimes these two galaxies can just run into each other. In the giant vastness of space, all these moving galaxies can sometimes cross paths, right?
Yeah, and there's another thing I want to say about that before we talk about what actually happens, which is that it's incredible to me that gravity is the force that's dominant on these scales, right? Like, that's the thing that's controlling how galaxies form and how they dance around each other, and that's pulling them all the way through the universe and forming these crazy structures. It's all gravity, right? But gravity is the weakest force of nature. It's weaker than electromagnetism. It's weaker than any of the nuclear forces. It's pathetically weak, but it's the only one that operates on these huge scales and it can't be balanced out. And so, because it's only an attractive force, there's no repulsive version of it. And so that's why, like, on these huge scales, gravity is the thing that dominates. Gravity determines the structure of the solar system, the structure of the galaxy, the structure of the clusters. Gravity sort of wins in the end. It's like, you know, revenge of the nerd forces, right? It's like the weakest force in the end controls the universe.
It's like slow and steady wins the race.
That's right. It's the turtle of forces. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we need to do a whole other podcast on why gravity is so weird and weak and whatever. And we'll get to that.
Right. Okay. So we have clusters and galaxies are moving around space and sometimes they collide. So yeah, let's talk about what actually happens when two of these things collide. But first, let's take a quick break.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com. Are you as enthusiastic about space exploration as I am? Well, join the worldwide community of more than 2 million like-minded people, the Planetary Society. Anyone can join. There's space for you. As a member of the Planetary Society, you can take an active role in supporting space exploration, including missions to explore the solar system and go far beyond. Help us find life elsewhere in the universe and protect the Earth from the dangers of asteroid impacts. Your membership funds advocacy, education outreach, scientific innovation, and global collaboration in support of all of these projects. So find your place in space. Where do we come from? Are we alone in the universe? Be part of the legacy started by famed astronomer Carl Sagan in 1980, and today led by celebrated science educator Bill Nye. The Planetary Society, seeking answers to big questions. Become a member and take your place in space today. Visit planetary.org. That's planetary.org. You know that feeling after you've done a deep spring clean of your house when you realize, wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like how you feel when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless, while Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording all this? So it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Personally, I've used Mint Mobile, and the calls are always so crisp and so clear. All of their plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So it's time to ditch your overpriced wireless and go with Mint Mobile's limited time deal for 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/universe. That's mintmobile.com/universe. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/universe. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Slower speeds above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right, so we're sitting in a galaxy and we are moving inside of this galaxy, and this galaxy is moving in space, but there's another galaxy nearby called the Andromeda Galaxy, and it's kind of on an intercept course with us, right? Like, we're going to run into it in about 4.5 billion years.
Yeah, not kind of. They've measured it. They can measure the velocity of Andromeda relative to us, and they can see that it's getting closer and closer every year. And they can also measure the lateral velocity, like, is it going to shoot by us or come right at us? And after, for a while, they weren't sure. They were like, oh, it's heading our way, but it could miss. You know, like every time they say there's an asteroid coming within, you know, a certain thousands of miles of the Earth, and then usually it misses. For a while, they weren't sure, but now they're pretty certain. They've taken enough measurements. They've seen it moving. They can project confidently that these two things are going to collide. Also, Andromeda and the Milky Way have a lot of gravity, and so you don't have to aim perfectly to get a collision, right? They're going to pull each other closer and closer.
They want to collide. You know? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a random asteroid. It's like we're pulling towards each other.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can really say they want. Like, do you understand the psychology of a galaxy? Do you know what a galaxy wants in life? You know?
Hey, galaxies have feelings, right?
I think I read that science fiction novel, right, where every galaxy is actually a living thing, and we are just like the tiny motes on an island of red blood cells inside a galaxy. Anyway, yeah, so you don't have to shoot perfectly, and they're going to collide. So to think about what happens in the collision, you probably think about each individual piece separately.
Like, we're a cluster of things. Like, a galaxy is not a solid object. It's like we're almost like a cloud of things, right? Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, imagine two crowds, right, passing into each other. Like, one gets off the train and one's coming down the stairs and they pass each other in the platform. What's going to happen? Well, it depends on how they interact, right, and how dense they are.
Oh, I see.
So we can start with something, the obvious parts, like the stars, okay? So you might think, oh my gosh, there's 100 billion stars coming right at us. That's going to be a big deal.
Is that the right size? Like, is Andromeda about the same size as the Milky Way?
Actually, I think it's bigger than the Milky Way, but, you know, factors of 10 here are not important. So it's hundreds of billions of stars, and each star, of course, is really big. And you might think, well, they're heading right at us. You know, this is going to be a big deal. But remember that the stars are really far apart also. And like, galaxies are huge, not just in terms of the number of stars, but in terms of the amount of space they take up.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, you look around you in our galaxy, there aren't that many stars nearby, right? And the closest stars are light years away.
I like this crowd analogy. That's pretty interesting. Like, we're a crowd of people getting off the subway. There's a crowd of people coming down the stairs to get on the subway. It's going to be a disaster, potentially.
Potentially. But if it's not rush hour and the crowds are pretty light, you know, there's like enough space, the two crowds can just pass right through each other.
Like, if the stairways and the hallways are huge and people are pretty spread out, it may not be like a riot, you know? It may just be like a busy intersection.
Right, it's like two people leaving Yankee Stadium at the same time as somebody else is trying to come in. Like, there's plenty of exits. Nobody's going to bump into each other, right?
Okay.
And that's sort of the case with stars. I read this one comparison where if you imagine a star is the size of a ping pong ball, on average, the nearest star is 3 kilometers away, right? So, like, if you were going to throw a ping pong ball into a cloud of ping pong balls where the spaces between them were 3 kilometers away, you'd be lucky if you hit anything, right? Even if you were trying.
Oh, I see. Okay. So our galaxy is actually pretty sparse, meaning the stars are pretty far apart from each other. We're not sort of clumped together.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, astronomically speaking.
And so there's going to be very few or probably zero direct collisions, you know, where one star like actually slams into another one. You get stellar explosions. I mean, that would be pretty awesome. I would pay for front row seats for sure, but I think it's pretty unlikely that's going to happen.
Oh, but you know, there's 100 billion stars running into 100 billion other stars. Surely some of them are going to hit head on, isn't it? Aren't they?
I mean, there's always a non-zero probability. You could get lucky or unlucky, depending on which outcome you're rooting for. But if they're diffuse enough, right, if they're far enough apart, then all of them could pass through without hitting. I mean, I think probably the most likely scenario is that maybe you get one. The stars also don't have to hit directly to affect each other, right? Each one is a big blob of mass, which means it has gravity. And so they can jostle each other. I mean, if another star came by near our solar system and passed nearby, it could affect the orbits of all the planets.
Right?
It could like nudge a planet out of orbit. It didn't have to hit the star directly head on in order to affect our lives.
It could maybe pull us out of orbit or suck us into that other star.
That's right. It could steal planets, right? Exactly. Or one of our planets could get ejected out of the solar system, right? Or it could even kick our star out of the galaxy. Our star is in orbit around the center of the galaxy, right?
Uh-huh.
And if another star comes near enough, it could get pulled and so that it gets, you know, out of that orbit. Right? An orbit is sort of a delicate thing. You have to be the right radius and the right velocity for it all to work. You start going too fast and you reach escape velocity. And our star could even get kicked out of the galaxy. So we could be, you know, sort of evicted from the Milky Way, floating in intergalactic space, just our star with the planets and everything.
Oh, I see. So when two galaxies collide, it's not, we don't have to worry about things running into each other, but it is going to be pretty chaotic, right? Like suddenly there's going to be, you know, twice the number of stars, and then that's just going to change everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. So things are definitely going to get mixed up. The stars won't necessarily smash into each other, but they'll definitely mix each other up and disturb each other. Yeah.
So are these two masses just going to kind of go towards each other, mix a little bit, and then keep going? Or are they, you know, slam into each other and then become this giant mega galaxy?
It depends a little bit on their relative velocity. If they're going fast enough relative to each other, then they'll pass through each other, right? But if they're not, and it doesn't seem like they are, then the most likely scenario is that they merge, that they come together and there's a little bit of sloshing and whatever, but eventually becomes one big galaxy.
What does that mean? It's like the other stars from the other galaxy, they're going to come, but then they're going to kind of go past us a little bit, and then they're going to get pulled back in, kind of thing. Like it's going to... like a giant jelly out in space, like it's going to go, you know what I mean? But in slow motion.
Yeah, or sort of like things getting flushed down the toilet, you know, they come closer and closer and closer and circle each other faster and faster.
It's
cosmic swirly, you know.
We might circle each other, the two galaxies.
Yeah, and sort of while being on top of each other, you know. So come together, pass a little, the centers of mass might pass a little bit and then turn and come the other direction and spin up faster and faster until the centers of mass align.
So being flushed down the toilet, that doesn't sound pleasant. Like that doesn't sound like it's going to be easy. Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't sound like it's going to leave us
unscathed. It might though. You know, our sun could be totally fine, and it could be that the planets are not distorted, their orbits are not distorted, and we could just have a front row seat to a pretty amazing event. And the other thing is that we see this happening all the time. Like you look out into space with the Hubble, and you zoom in on other galaxies. There's lots of galaxies out there, and lots of them are in various stages of merging. And you can see galaxies that are just starting to merge. You can see galaxies that have been merging for a billion years. You can see galaxies that obviously merged a long time ago, and they're sort of like an uncomfortable blob of two galaxies. Like one spiral arm is sort of knocked off over here, and there's another one over there. And so we have a lot of catalogs of examples of galaxies that have merged.
Really?
That's how we know so much about it, yeah.
If you look out, there's a bunch of crashes that you can study.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to know what galaxy collisions look like, you don't have to build a galaxy collider. This is one thing I love about astronomy.
You just have to Google it.
You can just, that's right, cosmic Googling, otherwise known as telescopes. You just look out into space and eventually you will see that thing happening. Like you want to imagine some crazy scenario where this kind of galaxy hits that kind of galaxy and then from behind comes a third one. That's happening somewhere out there and you just need to find it and watch it. And so that's the amazing thing about astronomy is that all these cosmic experiments are happening. We just need to look for them.
Wow. Okay, while we process that, let's take a quick break.
Are you as enthusiastic about space exploration as I am? Well, join the worldwide community of more than 2 million like-minded people, the Planetary Society. Anyone can join. There's space for you. As a member of the Planetary Society, you can take an active role in supporting space exploration, including missions to explore the solar system and go far beyond. Help us find life elsewhere in the universe and protect the Earth from the dangers of asteroid impacts. Your membership funds advocacy, education outreach, scientific innovation, and global collaboration in support of all of these projects. So find your place in space. Where do we come from? Are we alone in the universe? Be part of the legacy started by famed astronomer Carl Sagan in 1980 and today led by celebrated science educator Bill Nye. The Planetary Society, seeking answers to big questions. Become a member and take your place in space today. Visit planetary.org. That's planetary.org. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash.
Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth, Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island. It becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
All right, so that's what might happen to the stars in the galaxy. What's going to happen to all these other parts of the galaxy when these two galaxies collide?
Right, and I like that we started with the stars because that's like the most important thing to us because we're sort of starocentric, right? Because we think stars are the most important element of the galaxy. But the biggest element of the galaxy, remember, is dark matter. And so you might ask, well, what's going to happen to all our dark matter? And just like with the stars, what happens there depends on how much it interacts. Currently, we don't really know anything about how much dark matter interacts. We know that it doesn't interact with normal matter. We think it doesn't interact with itself, or if it does, it doesn't interact very strongly. And so, but it does have gravitational attraction. So if the galaxies are going to hit each other and they're not moving too fast, that they just basically pass right through each other, then the gravity from dark matter is going to affect the gravity from the other galaxy's dark matter just the same way the stars are. And the two will sort of merge eventually and become one big dark matter halo. And it's the kind of thing I would love to watch, but you can't really see the dark matter.
It could be just another version of the cluster of stars. You know, it's like one blob goes into the other blob, and then they kind of slosh around, and then it just becomes a bigger blob.
Yeah, you can think of the stars as sort of like a collisionless liquid, right? It's like you have a liquid of stars that don't interact with each other the same way the dark matter does. So dark matter and stars are basically operating under the same principles. The only relevant interaction that we know about is gravity. So everything we said about stars is also going to affect the big blobs of dark matter. Now, dark matter is much more continuous. We think it's smooth. It's not like there's just dots of it here and there. But because it hardly interacts with each other, it doesn't matter if it rams smack into itself, right? The only effect is gravitational.
It may not interact with itself, meaning it could just pass by itself and not really kind of explode or collide or do anything besides pull itself gravitationally.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't even know what dark matter is made out of. So we can't say things like dark matter particles can do this. Dark matter, as far as we know, is just smooth, collisionless blob of something. And we know it has gravitational interactions, and that's really about all we know about it. So we think that's what's going to happen. And, you know, we've seen dark matter in these gravitational collisions, and we see that it basically sticks with the galaxies, right? It sticks with the stars.
Okay, so then the last part is the black hole at the center of each galaxy. No,
don't forget the dust, right? This gas and dust, which a lot of people overlook. And this is actually the most exciting part because
the dust is the coolest part.
I know. That's how you know you're listening to a nerdy podcast when they get excited about dust.
Oh my God. The dust.
No, if for those people who are like expecting dramatic events and explosions, this is where you get them. Okay. Because dust is not diffuse, right? It's spread everywhere. Like you have a big blob of dust. It's not like little clusters of mass the way stars are. It's a huge extended blob of dust. And when it smashes into another blob of dust, you're going to get fireworks. Like those clouds of dust interact with each other the way dark matter doesn't, and they're spread everywhere the way stars aren't. And so you get huge collisions. And what happens when you compress gas and dust, what happens when you collide huge blobs of gas and dust is you get more dense and then you get stars. And so you could see like new stars being born where these two huge clouds of gas and dust bang into each other.
Literally like fireworks, like
that's right. Yeah. Cosmic fireworks. I mean, what's more dramatic and what's a better cosmic firework than seeing stars be born? Yeah.
So this one is going to be like two, you know, you know, two liquids kind of running into each other. It is going to be kind of dramatic, you know, like it is going to be like with the sound effects and everything in space.
No, yeah, exactly. It's just like two water balloons hitting each other, right? You're going to get an initial shock wave, and you know, you don't get stars born when you fire water balloons at each other because the density isn't great enough, obviously. But yeah, you're going to get a shock wave. You're going to get friction between the fluids, and you're going to get stars being born. It's going to be pretty dramatic. So you don't want to be there. You don't want to.
But we are. Aren't we surrounded by gas clouds and stuff?
No, I think you need denser stuff. I mean, the Milky Way definitely has big clouds of gas and dust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I see. But when those clouds run into the other clouds, then that's where this stuff happens. Mm-hmm. But we're not necessarily sitting in one of those clouds.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The last element is the black hole, right? And okay, so yeah. Our galaxy is a huge black hole at the center, and almost every other galaxy is a huge black hole at the center. Mm-hmm. And there, it's going to be mostly dominated by gravity, right? Because they're going to pull on each other really hard, mm-hmm. and they're going to pass by each other a little bit, perhaps, because they're probably not going to hit dead on. And then they're going to swing around. They're going to pull on each other. So there'll probably be, you know, some sort of a near miss, and then they'll turn around and come back, and then they'll just circle each other faster and faster and faster. And if you remember the episode we did on gravitational waves, or if you heard about the discovery of gravitational waves, you know that what happens when black holes get close to each other is they start to circle each other faster and faster until eventually they spin really, really fast and the distance gets closer and closer and closer, and then they merge and they become one enormous black hole. They like eat each other.
Right. But it's not a peaceful event. It's like a pretty violent thing, right? Like they spin super, super fast. There's energy spewed out everywhere. And then suddenly you have these huge cataclysmic gravitational waves.
Oh yeah. When black holes fight, it's a big mess. Absolutely. You don't want to be anywhere near that.
Wow.
Because huge amounts of radiation, not just gravitational waves, right? Yeah, you make gravitational waves, which are pretty awesome from a physics point of view. But, you know, these things tear up into each other and emit huge amounts of radiation. And so you don't want to be anywhere near that. Yeah, I mean, that's going to, like, sterilize life on any nearby star system for sure. But anyway, there probably isn't any life in the center of our galaxy for that same reason, that the galactic black hole is already emitting huge amounts of life-killing radiation. So you don't want to get too close anyway.
It's like the eye of a storm. There's nothing living in the middle of it.
That's right. I don't know if it's calm inside the black hole, though we did a whole episode actually on what it's like to be inside a black hole, so you guys should go listen to that. But yeah, it's everything is swirling around that central black hole, and so probably what will happen is they'll merge, and the new galaxy, I wonder what that galaxy would be called, actually.
Yeah.
How would you combine Andromeda and the Milky Way? Like
Andromedinky Way?
Milk Dromeda? I don't know. Andromeda Way.
The Andromeda Way. There you go.
The Andromeda Way. Yeah, the new galaxy would have a huge, super-duper massive black hole at its center.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I think that basically sums it up. You'd have the black holes would probably merge, huge, violent eruption of radiation there.
Right.
The gas and the dust would have a lot of friction. It'd cause star formation.
Big explosions.
Big explosions.
Fireworks.
Yeah, exactly.
Friction.
Yeah, just all the kind of stuff you expect to see in the next Transformers movie. And then
Mark Wahlberg.
The rest of the stuff, he'll be there.
He'll
for
be
sure.
there.
He's
yeah.
involved in everything.
At least his bones.
If there's
probably.
Money to be made, he'll be there. And then the stars and the dark matter will just have a gravitational effect, but they'll, you know, eventually settle down, and in a few more billion years, the new galaxy will have its own shape. It'll sort of settle into its own new shape.
But it kind of sounds like every part will do something different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they will, because they follow different rules, right? They all interact differently. And so,
then kind of the nice structure we have now is going to be pretty much obliterated, right? When it merges with the other one.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't count on your real estate being the same value after the galaxy collision, because everything's going to be shook up, right? Absolutely.
So it's going to be different. Disrupt the entire, both galaxies going to be totally disrupted, fireworks, collisions. But you're saying it's possible we may survive it, right? Like it's possible nothing will actually happen to our solar system.
I think that's the most likely outcome, yeah, is that it will just be sort of interesting.
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely. Most likely thing, I mean, we're a star. We're basically part of our star, right? You think of the solar system as just one big blob. And the most likely thing is that nothing gets close enough to disrupt our orbit around the star. And you know what? Even if our star gets like ejected from the galaxy, so what? We don't need the galaxy. We could live just fine, just a star with a bunch of planets in the middle of intergalactic space. We don't need anything else. We just need our star to provide energy for life. So So we don't, I mean, just in the same way we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, like you don't really notice what's going out in space because you don't usually have to. And if all those stars disappeared and we were in the middle of intergalactic space, it wouldn't change your life at all. You would still need to stock up on lentils for the coming apocalypse. You know, it wouldn't save you or change your plans at all.
You wouldn't mind getting kicked out of town. Like that's kind of what it would feel like.
That's being right. Exiled. Well, our whole town would just get kicked out, you know, and we just go on living the way we did before. But things will definitely change for us. Even if we survive this galactic collision, the night sky will look very different. I mean, as Andromeda approaches in the next few billion years, it will grow in the sky and eventually look really big. And then after the collision, right, when things have settled down, the night sky will look totally different because all the stars will have been rearranged and we won't see that band of the Milky Way anymore.
Well, that makes me feel better. I was sweating what was going to happen 4.5 billion years from now, but now I feel better. And I hope, Blake, you also feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's right. Blake, chill out. Don't worry about it. You have nothing to worry about.
Keep on riding that kangaroo to work.
I think it's fun to think about things happening deep into the future and also even further into the future. Mm. You know, the universe has been around 14 billion years, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just sort of like the initial bits, not before we get to the interesting part. Mm. But it could be that we're not even at the interesting part, you know? Thinking about galaxies in this way reminds you that they're spinning, they're dynamic, they're swirling around each other. What's going to happen? We don't know, right? They could continue to swirl and form crazy new structures that the universe has never seen before because there hasn't been time to make them. And so this is the kind of thing that makes me think about the universe like on the trillion or 2 trillion life year cycle. Like if life is still around 10 trillion years into the history of the universe, they'll think about these first few moments of galactic formation as, you know, or almost irrelevant, or just like just warming up.
Yeah. The best may be yet to come, huh?
That's right. I'm an optimistic person, so I'm always hoping that the best thing is yet to come. Exactly.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Blake, for sending us this question. We really enjoyed answering it.
That's right. And check out our book called We Have No Idea. It's a guide to the unknown questions of the universe, all the things that physics wants to know the answer to but really hasn't got a clue about. And thanks for listening.
Yeah. And if you're hungry or want to stock up, just don't forget to get Daniel's spicy lentils. Now available at your local grocery store.
If you still have a question after listening to all these explanations, please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Daniel and Jorge, that's one word, or email us at feedback@danielandjorge.com.
Are you enthusiastic about space exploration? I am. Join the worldwide community of more than 2 million like-minded people, the Planetary Society. As a member of the Planetary Society, you take an active role in supporting space exploration, including missions within the solar system and far beyond. Help us find life elsewhere in the universe and protect the Earth from the dangers of asteroids. Learn more and become a member at planetary.org.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.